Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Vegan Ari Show. I am your host, Vegan Ari, and I am joined today, as always, by my luscious husband, Miko Alon.
Hi guys.
Thank you everyone so much for listening. We have a fabulous show in store for you today. We are going to open up the show talking all about politics and current events, and then we will be moving on to the new vegan product segment. This week, we'll be tasting new vegan sausage patties by Meatless Farm. You know I love sausages. And then we'll be closing out the show, like always, with vegan animal rights news. Now, before we get started, I just want to encourage everyone, if you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I am at Vegan Ari. Miko is at Miko Alon, or use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And just one more thing, we are trying to get more listeners and subscribers to the show. So if you're a fan of the show, if you wouldn't mind helping us spread the word, we would be ever so grateful for that. Whatever you can do, a Facebook post, a tweet, a retweet, send a text to a friend, it all counts and we are here for all of it. So to everyone who's already helped us in this effort, thank you so much. And if you're about to help us out, thank you. Now, Miko, let's get down to business because there is a lot to cover in this opening segment. Last week, after the Democratic National Convention, I was feeling very hopeful. I was in a good mood. This week, after the Republican National Convention, oy vey, I feel hopeless. This was just such an epic shit show. I mean, so much fear-mongering, the lies. What did you make of this Republican National Convention?
Well, I don't know if I agree with your sentiment that I feel hopeless. Because, first of all, despite all the production value that these people tried to bring to this shit show, it did not have the numbers of the Democratic National Convention.
Well, that's true. The ratings were lower.
You know, Trump lost the ratings war. But this is how I felt. You know, it was a strikingly slickly produced, Mark Burnett, I believe, produced it for the Republican National Committee, propaganda fest. You know, but no matter how many times you wrap yourself in the flag, no matter what nice camera movements you have, no matter how many fireworks you have in the end, you cannot conceal the fact that the people speaking are garbage. Absolute garbage. Look at who was speaking. It was mostly Trump family.
Yeah, it was like his dirtbag family. Yeah.
You have his coked out son blabbering incoherently. You have his girlfriend shrieking, "The best is yet to come."
Very, very Ava Perone.
Yeah, very strange. But in general, what struck me was that it was almost like stepping into this alternative reality where white is black and black is white, where they're saying we've won the war against the pandemic, even though we haven't. They're saying the economy is booming, even though it isn't. And they're saying our streets are in chaos and everything's wrong, which proves that Donald Trump is the best law and order president ever. Vote for more of this. It was literally like you felt like detached from reality, being like, am I the only person who watching this? Well, obviously both of us, but... who is saying, holy fucking shit, the emperor has no clothes and all the Republicans yet seem to line up to lick his ass.
Yeah, it is quite stunning, really. And to be clear, I did not watch the whole Republican National Convention. I was not going to put myself through that. But, you know, when you have Mike Pence up there saying that we have basically that the pandemic's over, do I need to remind everybody that Mike Pence is the idiot, the incompetent fool, who wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal on June 16th saying that there was not going to be a second wave and that coronavirus was over. Well, guess what? That was literally days before the surge hit. When he wrote that article, a little bit over 100,000 people died. We almost have the same number of people who died since he wrote the article saying there's no second wave. This man doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. I mean, you have Donald Trump getting up. I mean, this is and the narrative that I just can't possibly understand, and if this is actually working, is that we have all this social unrest, violence on the streets, and that if we elect Biden, that's what America's going to be like. Except this is what America is like now under Trump. This is where, like, I don't understand how you can say, look at all of this over here. If you elect Biden, that's what you're going to get. That's what we already got under you.
I mean, we have watched for months how this president has only made the problem worse and encouraging, you know, right-wing violence and inciting people, just as he always has during, you know, throughout his presidency.
I mean, this is the thing, is that obviously there's been, you know, protests on the streets. I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, over police violence. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is the cause of police violence. I mean, this is something that's been going on for decades and decades and decades in this country. But I do think that having a president who is unabashedly racist, that exacerbates the problem. This is not a president who is a uniter. This is not a president calling for peace. This is a president who sows division. And when you sow division, this is what you're going to get. And I don't understand how you can try and warn people that your opponent is going to do what you have already done, which is sow, you know, the seeds of division and violence and chaos. And I mean, I just, you know, anyway, I want to go and talk about another specific, you know, moment during the shit show that was the Republican National Convention, which was the culmination of this disgusting display. Trump giving a speech at the White House for his campaign, which I don't know if that's ever been done. You know, we have this thing in this country called the Hatch Act, which apparently the president and vice president are exempt from, but it's supposed to stop people in the executive branch from using the federal government to campaign. That's essentially what it is. And I think that the presidents of the past have stopped from doing that out of respect for the spirit of the law. Well, not Donald Trump, of course, because he's a wannabe dictator. He gives this speech on the White House lawn with the White House in the background, the whole nine yards. And then there's a crowd of 1,000 people there. No masks, no social distancing. According to a couple of journalists that I read, no one was tested for COVID before they entered. How is this not such a slap in the face to everyone in this country who's lost someone from COVID? And what about all the doctors and nurses who've risked their lives treating people for COVID? I mean, this is just so despicable to me that you would have that for what? For what? What are you trying to prove? Is he trying to prove that COVID is not a problem, that it's not real?
Look at how they're trying to manipulate the data and how much information Americans can access through traditional channels like the CDC. You know, they're trying to now, the latest thing is, oh, not everybody died of COVID. There were underlying, you know,
well, that was,
they're
yeah.
trying to, they're trying to spin death. And I mean, a part of me felt like when the stuff that I did watch of the Republican National Convention, to me felt like it was like almost like a North Korea level propaganda show where you trust that your supporters have no access to any outside news, which probably in the case of the hardcore Trump base voter is true. They get their news from Breitbart, from Onan, whatever the hell that crazy Russian funded pretend Christian network is. And then people like Ben Shapiro, who just repeat Trump's talking points, which is why I do think that the debates will be extremely valuable, because this will probably be the only time that some people in America get to actually hear what Joe Biden has to say versus hearing what Donald Trump says Biden says.
But don't people step outside their fucking front door and see what's going on in this country?
I mean, when you think about it, like talking about Mike Pence and saying, oh, we've won the war against the pandemic. We literally have a 9/11 level death toll every 3 days in America still.
Right.
And like, it's probably only going to get worse with the upcoming flu season when respiratory illnesses in general get worse. And so I do think that we have talked about this many times in the past. I think the tragic, one of the great horrible flaws in what the Republican Party is allowing to do is to allow a president to lead who only cares about how today's news cycle closed. It's like somebody said, Donald Trump's entire existence has been trying to hold off creditors for 24 hours. And when you run a country like that, you don't care where we are going to be a month from now. You can just tell people, oh, we've won the war over the pandemic. And you don't give a shit if, you know, there's 100,000 extra deaths by the time election day arrives.
I mean, I don't understand it. I you know, I feel like we have an economy in collapse. We are in a situation where an average of 1,000 Americans die a day from COVID. social unrest. I don't know what people see in him. I don't get it. And I just want to be clear, you know, Michael Moore, love him or hate him, the documentarian, you know, he predicted in 2016 that Trump was going to win. And he was right, even though all these polls and all these people were, you know, making fun of it and acting like Hillary had it in the bag. He is warning the same thing now. And in a lot of battleground states, Biden and Trump are neck and neck. And in some of those states in these polls, which, you know, I don't really trust the polls, but Trump has actually moved ahead in states like Michigan and stuff. And I mean, we cannot be, you know, complacent thinking, oh, Trump is just so horrible that everyone in America. No, not everyone in America thinks the way that we do. There seem to be enough people out there who still support him, who still think he's, I don't know how, but who still think he's somehow right for this country. And I am very worried for November.
They are the low information voter. But I agree with you. Even if we saw, you know, let's say after the debates, a huge surge for Joe Biden, where people actually get to hear what he has to say, we still have the problem that Trump has actively sabotaged the U.S. Postal Service to try to compromise by mail voting. We learned this week that the Director of National Intelligence is no longer going to be briefing Congress on foreign interference in our election, which is something that's also required by law, which apparently now is just another thing that we're going to shrug off. So the deck is stacked against Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for sure. So we must, the key thing is that we have the sane Americans left and the Democrats who must show up on election day and vote.
Well, let's hope so, because I'll say this, if this is what America is like after 4 years of Donald Trump, I don't think that we can even imagine what it's going to be like under 8 years of Donald Trump. I think that this country is going to fall apart completely. And if we have, if there's any hope that we can salvage, you know, our democracy, we got to get rid of this fucking guy. We got to vote him out. It's astonishing to me the amount of people in this country who are so willing to put this man over the country. It's like their undying loyalty to this man who doesn't give a shit about you. All Donald Trump cares about is power and staying president so that, quite frankly, he doesn't end up in prison. Like, right. I think that's like his motivating factor. And it's amazing to me how many people are willing to sell American democracy down the road of authoritarianism and fascism. This is something that I thought that we had settled in the 20th century after World War II. I am just shocked. And if anyone or your friends or family are thinking this is a road we should go down, please just point them to world history. Tell them to study what Spain was like under Franco, or what Chile was like under Pinochet, or what Hitler's Germany was like, and see how all those situations ended up. It does not end up well. Dictatorships, authoritarianism, police states, that does not end well. So, yeah. Okay. Now, I want to talk about this shooting that happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, because this has really been, a huge story this week. This man, Jacob Blake, was shot several times in the back by police. Following that, there's video of it. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. Following that, there were a lot of protests in Kenosha. And then this 17-year-old guy, Kyle Rittenhouse, traveled across state lines to Kenosha with an AR-15 branding a military assault rifle on the streets of an American city and wound up killing two people. This is someone who used to be a police cadet or something. He was a cadet in training. I don't know, something like that. I think that this just shows the stark difference as to how law enforcement treats white people versus people of color in America. You know, this was a guy stalking the streets of an American city with an assault rifle. And not only did police not stop him, arrest, they thanked him for being there and offered him a bottle of water. Okay? Contrast that with Tamir Rice, who was a kid playing with a toy gun, and what happened there. I just think that, You know, this is why people are marching in the streets.
You have this guy is literally walking toward police with his gun out,
yeah.
And people are screaming, he's shot people, he's killed people, and the police are backing away and giving him space. This is happening also, by the way, during the Republican National Convention when the RNC had that lunatic couple who brandished among them an automatic weapon at peaceful yeah. protesters celebrated as some sort of fucking American icon.
And that's when you celebrate those two assholes who went on their, you know, front lawn with their weapons. And not just that they had weapons. She was holding her gun with her hand on the trigger. She could have, like, you know, shot someone by accident. I mean, that's a fucking mess. When you hold people up like that as paragons of I don't know, American freedom or whatever you incite this type of stuff. You incite the violence that Kyle Rittenhouse did in Kenosha. And you know, even now the president, he was asked yesterday, Trump was asked about this. He wouldn't condemn it. He wouldn't condemn the violence. And there was a caravan of these ultra right wing Trump supporters that were driving to Portland and they were specifically going to confront Black Lives Matter protesters. Trump calls these people great patriots, you know? And so I feel like if we continue down this path, Trump, because of his unabashed racism, he incites division. He incites violence. We saw it in El Paso last year when that guy killed over 20 people at a Walmart, and in his manifesto, he was quoting lines from Trump's speeches. This is not the future that I want to see for this country.
Right, and Trump and the Republican Party, they elevate, as you said, these people who are walking our streets with automatic weapons as some sort of, you know, heroes, and then they lie about the cause of the rioting and the violence during Black Lives Matter protests. We have so much information now about these extreme right-wing groups basically infiltrating the protests and setting off riots, starting vandalism, and we never hear the media talk about that. It's almost like, have you ever seen this? When people say, oh, we now know that it was actually white agitators who set off this riot. There's like five instances like that. We never get to see that video in our national news. So I feel like our media needs to start doing a much better job at covering these stories.
Well, what's so scary is that a lot of people in media, like I follow Joy Reid on Twitter. She's great, by the way. A lot of people believe that Trump wants the violence because he thinks that it's going to scare white people into voting for him. That to me is so dangerous and so despicable. But that is what people think, that like he actually wants to sow division and violence so that people get so scared that they think that he's going to be some law and order president, even though all this violence and stuff has happened under his presidency. But, you know, that's
right.
That's a theory right now.
I cannot describe to you how my head is about to pop off when I think about the fact that he keeps telling people, if you don't want to live like this, don't, you know, you can't vote for Joe Biden, but it's your fault we're here.
Right.
It's your fault.
Right.
Literally, like everything he has ever touched in this country has turned for the worse.
Yeah.
Everything from income inequality to the death toll from this pandemic to the unrest and the violence. He is responsible for it all, and he's making it worse every day. And he's saying, oh, this is look at like the Republican ads, you know, welcome to Joe Biden's America.
Joe Biden's not the president.
Who is president?
Donald Trump is the president. I know, it's maddening. And I don't know if that messaging is working on his supporters or on swing voters, but if it is, I'm like, what is going on? I mean, I don't understand how that messaging is working, but that seems to be, you know, what they're using right now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like when you've got nothing, literally nothing, you got to make shit up. And he's just making shit up. But yeah, I just to go back to the situation in Kenosha for a minute, it really is, it's just a devastating situation, the whole thing. And, you know, you look at, I'm sorry, but, you know, you just look at the way that, for example, Dylann Roof, who shot 9 people at that church in South Carolina, this white supremacist piece of shit, look at the way he was treated by police, taken peacefully. They fucking bought that monster Burger King, okay? You know, look at the way the guy who shot up that theater in Aurora, Colorado was treated. You know, and then you look, you contrast that with the way Sandra Bland was treated, who was pulled over for, I think she failed to signal or something. You know, you look at the way that George Floyd was treated, you know, for allegedly having a counterfeit $20 bill. I mean, there's a fucking problem in this country. And again, this is why people are taking to the streets and marching. And I feel so sad and so disheartened over this situation. I am a white presenting man, and I feel like that. I can't even imagine what it's like to be black in America and to see these stories over and over and over again. I mean, there's so many names. I don't even know all of the names.
Right. And you look at this, you know, people on the right say, well, if you just follow the police's instructions and don't break the law, you'll be fine. Breonna Taylor was sleeping. And her killers have not been arrested.
It's absolutely fucking devastating. It's devastating. Well, if you're a listener to the show, please, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. I am, you know, I feel like very, some days I feel a little bit better than other days, but I am really worried that the worst will happen in November and that Donald Trump will win re-election. I am very worried about that. We need to, I know we say, I say this every week, we need to come out in record numbers. Make sure that your friends are registered to vote. Text your friends, like literally text your friends, like, are you registered? Are you voting for Biden? You know, like, do whatever you can. If you can, volunteer for Biden. He has on his website, he has, you know, a whole action center where you can take action and do a bunch of stuff. We got to do everything. We got to pull out all the stops. Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to talk about one more thing before we move on to new vegan products. Have to bring this up, which is the death of Chadwick Boseman, the actor who I think most famously portrayed King T'Challa in Black Panther. God, died at 43 years old. And it's just devastating. I bring it up really to just kind of share my sadness over it. You know, obviously, I mean, Black Panther was such a cultural moment, such an important film on so many different levels. And just, you know, to lose the star so tragically young like this, it's just, it breaks your heart, you know?
Yeah, and he portrayed so many iconic Americans. And to think that his career really spanned his great success, you know, he was 32. So for in an 11-year span, he portrayed so many iconic roles. And for the last four, he was fighting cancer.
Yeah, that is just, when you hear that, you think, he didn't just portray a superhero, he was a superhero.
He was a real superhero.
You know, and yeah, just to say, like, That's the truth. I mean, he portrayed so many iconic Americans. Jackie Robinson in the film 42, James Brown in the film Get On Up, Thurgood Marshall in the film Marshall. And you know, this hits close to home for Miko and I, because, you know, the Vegan Ari show really grew out of the Sam Simon show, which was our dear friend Sam Simon, one of the creators of The Simpsons, had a radio show, and I co-hosted the show with him for years. And he passed away in his late 50s from colon cancer. And I just say this to everybody listening. If you're 45 or older, please get a colonoscopy. They say you should get a colonoscopy. I think they say you should get one every 5 years after you turn 45. If you have a history of colon cancer in your family, they say that you should start getting colonoscopies at the age of 40 or 10 years younger than when the person in your family was diagnosed. You know, the earlier we can detect it, the better chances we have of surviving it. And yeah, it's just a devastating disease, and it fills me with such sadness to lose, you know, Chadwick Boseman from it at such a young age. It's just, you know, but he will obviously always be remembered, and you know, his films live on, his legacy lives on. It's just very sad. All right, Miko. Well, with that, let's lighten the mood. This is a lot in this opening segment. Let's taste some new vegan sausages by Meatless Farm.
Let's do it.
All right. Yay, new vegan products! Okay, so today we are tasting new vegan sausage patties by Meatless Farm. Now, Miko, I think we've tried Meatless Farm products before. I think we tried their ground product.
Yes, it was good.
And it was pretty good. This is a company based in the UK. They are now sold pretty widely, I think, in the United States. I know Whole Foods has them. I found this at our local Gelson's, I think, had it. Now, this vegan sausage is gluten-free, soy-free. I believe it's made from pea protein. And I'm assuming this is like a breakfast sausage since it's like a flat, round thing as opposed to a something shaped like a dick. Okay, now let's taste it and see what we think. But before we do, tell everybody how you cooked it.
Oh, this is very easy. You basically, we bought this frozen. You basically thaw it and then just pan fry it for 6 minutes, flipping a few times.
All right, let's do it. Let's taste it. Here we go. Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy.
Oh. That is delicious, both flavor and texture.
I mean, I when I listen back to the show and I'm chewing in the mic, I'm always like, oh God, you have to stop doing that. I wish there was a mute button or something, because I don't know, people must be like, oh my God, he's chewing in my ear. Stop. All right, anyway. I think this is very good. I think the texture is good. It's thinner than I think what I remember breakfast sausages being. The flavor is good, but I gotta say, if I was comparing this to the other stuff on the market, I don't know. I mean, like, for example, the breakfast sausages by Beyond Meat are so good. And there's also one that's made by Field Roast, but they're like, they're not round like this. Those are like little dicks. that they have a real maple-y flavor. I feel like breakfast sausage should have like that really like maple flavor to it. I'm not getting that from this. I mean, it's still good. I'm not getting that specific flavor.
Yeah, I think the Beyond Meat breakfast sausage is my favorite. What I do like about this is that this is large. Like it may be thinner, but this is like a toast size breakfast sausage.
I mean, if you paired this with the just folded egg and then the right vegan cheddar cheese, that would make an excellent breakfast sandwich. I mean, that's how I would use this. But I mean, you know, you could do whatever you want. But that I think would be such a great use of this, because like you said, it's perfect. It would fit perfect in like on an English muffin or a bagel or something. That would be really good. But I mean, look, is it the best, you know, vegan breakfast sausage on the market? No. But is it good? Yeah, it's good. You know, I give it like a B+.
I give it an A-. Okay. I have no complaints.
Right. There you go. Okay. Well, there you have it. This is our review of the new vegan sausage patties by Meatless Farm. Again, you're going to find this in the frozen section of your supermarket. Gluten-free, soy-free, flavor-free. No, it's not flavor-free. It's got a lot of flavor. And try it out for yourself. See what you think. Miko and I gave it a B+. Miko's an A-. All right, Miko. Well, with that, what do you say we move on and do some vegan animal rights news?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay, everyone, it is time for vegan animal rights news. First story. Ugh. This is a story about Elon Musk.
I hate that guy.
I know, you don't like him. Well, now you're really going to hate him.
He's a climate change denying douchebag, and I say climate change denying because he keeps saying, oh, don't worry about climate change, we'll all live in space, and we all know that that's bullshit. We're not going to be living in space or any of those things, but sorry, I digress.
Well, you're really going to hate him, okay? Because he unveiled this new product that he's been working on called, let's see what the hell this stupid-ass thing is called. Neuralink or something? Yeah, Neuralink, okay? And it's basically like this microchip that you can put in your brain and that you can communicate with like your iWatch or whatever with your brain. You don't even have to touch it. You don't have to. It's all now, you know, now they're making us into robots, right? Well, he unveiled it in a pig. So he used animals to test this new technology, which means they, Lord knows what situation this animal is living in. And then, of course, they have to operate on the animal to put the microchip in the pig's brain so the pig can talk to an iPhone. This is the dumbest fucking thing. Why are you using animals? You know, this is, and the thing is, there's been a ton of articles about this. You know, everyone was like, oh, Elon Musk is, you know, turning us into a robot. Yeah, not one of these articles questioned the ethics behind using animals in this way, testing on animals. I think it's a fucking disgrace. I say, fuck you, Neuralink. And you know what? Shame on Elon Musk for exploiting animals for this purpose. Why doesn't he put that fucking microchip in his brain?
He should. I was saying, maybe he could put an empathy chip, because this is the same douchebag,
you know,
who opened the Tesla plant against California law and for some reason didn't get prosecuted.
Oh, you're talking about during COVID?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think that this is just, to me, this is
He's a completely unethical piece of
shit
person.
It's disgusting, and
reading
about it.
And I'm tired of everyone slurping him, and, you know, he's also a Trump supporter. Fuck him.
Reading about it just really pissed me off. So anyway, I just think it's bullshit. Okay. Next story. In good news, the Netherlands is set to close all of its mink farms by next March. Now, this, it was already going to happen by 2023. They passed a law, the Dutch parliament passed a law in 2013 banning mink farms throughout the country. Well, they were supposed to do it by 2023. That was the date that by which they all had to be closed. But because of the coronavirus outbreak, and because there was so much spread of it on mink farms, they've actually moved it up, and now they're going to be all closed by next year. So the 2 years ahead of schedule, all the mink farms will be closed.
Good.
I think this is great, but you know what I have to say? There's a lot of countries in the same region of the world where fur farming is still a big business. I'm talking about Denmark, Finland. I hope all these countries get on board. Fur farming is so despicable and so sad. So I'm happy that, you know, at least them closing these farms a couple years ahead of schedule, that will obviously save a lot of animals from a life of horrible suffering on fur farms. But this is something that should be throughout the world. There's no excuse for this. But thank you, the Netherlands. Okay, next story. A California chicken processing plant, this is a Foster Farms facility, was shut down after there was a coronavirus outbreak that infected 358 workers and killed 8 of them. I mean, this is a fucking sad, sad situation. And you know what? This is not just in California on Foster Farms. This has been at meat processing facilities and slaughterhouses all over the country. You know, the situations that these workers have to toil in are ripe for infections to spread. They stand right next to each other. They work so fast that there's been reports that they don't even have enough time to cover their mouths and noses when they cough, when they sneeze. This is just very sad. And I think as long as the coronavirus is around, we're going to see this stuff. Yeah, just horrible. Okay, next story. Burger King is planning to launch plant-based chicken nuggets in Germany.
Good.
All right. I mean, I wonder if they still have the Impossible Burger. Is that still a thing?
I think so.
The Impossible Whopper. That's what it was,
yeah,
right?
I think they have it.
All right. Well, now they're going to have vegan chicken nuggets in Germany. This is made by a company called The Vegetarian Butcher, which I actually think we had their products when we were in Finland. I think we tried some of their vegan meats, and I think they were pretty good. So hopefully, if this launch goes over really well in Germany, maybe they'll, you know, bring it to other countries. Like, you know, maybe they'll bring it to America. I mean, now KFC is testing their vegan, you know, chicken or vegan nuggets, whatever it is, at locations in California. They've now launched it across Canada. Who knows? Maybe Burger King is next. Okay, next story. Starbucks is launching oat milk across all of Canada.
Okay.
All right. Do they have it here yet?
I think so.
I think they have oat milk here. I haven't been to a Starbucks in a long time. I know they have almond milk, coconut milk, soy milk.
What's happening with that surcharge?
I don't know. But, you know, that is something that PETA was talking about. I know I wrote about it once, you know, because Starbucks does upcharge for the plant-based milk. And it's bullshit. It's bullshit. And I think it also deters people from trying it. And I'm not buying that they need to do that in order to make the money. Starbucks is a major company with, I mean, my God, it's probably a multi-billion dollar company. I mean, I think that it should be part of their, you know, green initiative. Like Starbucks has been very, you know, tried to be very flashy about all of the stuff that they do to help the environment or supposedly help the environment. Well, why wouldn't promoting plant-based milks be a part of that? We know how detrimental dairy is. So, yeah, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I'm glad that Canada's getting oat milk. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. Next story. Beyond Meat is launching a direct-to-customer platform, meaning it's like an online store on the Beyond Meat website where you can order their products directly from them and have it shipped to you.
Nice.
I mean, I think this is great. You know, not everybody, I think Beyond Meat is pretty widely available, but not everybody lives in a part of the country where maybe they have it. And also during COVID, not everybody really wants to go to the supermarket all the time. So I think the fact that you can order this directly from them and have it shipped to you is great. It says that the idea is that once you place the order, it'll only take no more than 2 days to be delivered anywhere in the country. So, wow. I mean, I say well done. They're going to have all the products, the sausages, the Beyond Burgers, the ground, all of it's going to be in there. They're going to have those, you know how they started making those bulk products that they're now selling at Costco? You can order that. I say great. I mean, bring it on, Beyond Meat. I love that company. All right. Next story. I bring this up because it has a personal resonance. There is a company called Abby's Better Nut Butter, and they are doing a pumpkin spice pecan butter for fall.
Mm.
This is the first time that I'm seeing pumpkin spice in a nut butter. Now, I have come out in the past against certain pumpkin spiced products because I do think, and I'm looking at you, Trader Joe's, I do think that certain companies go crazy. Like last year, Trader Joe's had like pumpkin spice, like corn chips. And I was like, I mean, they've had like pumpkin spice hummus. You know, I don't know if we need to do pumpkin spice hummus, but I think that pumpkin spice nut butter sounds intriguing, especially with pecan, because I think pecans are a very fall thing. You know, pecan pie, and some people put pecans in their stuffing and stuff. This sounds very good.
Maybe we can taste it on the show.
I'm going to have to try and find it. I mean, have you seen Abby's Better Nut Butter? I've never heard of this.
I don't know.
Well, let's look for it, because when it comes to pumpkin spice, I'm as basic as they come. I love pumpkin spice. Everything pumpkin. In fact, on Tuesday, it's September 1st. And when we go shopping this week at the supermarket, if there's not pumpkins, I will be upset. Like, I need there to be pumpkins. Immediately when it turns September, I need pumpkins everywhere. All right. Next story. And is this my last story? Yes, this is my last story of the week. So, there is a startup called Bond Pet Food. And according to them, they have created the world's first slaughter-free chicken protein for dogs and cats.
Wow.
So they are making cultured chicken meat for pet food. And they do it. This is like fascinating. I'm going to read this, and even after I read it, I'm not even going to know what I read. Okay. So it says that they collect a one-time blood sample from a heritage hen, okay, and then they take the genetic code for chicken protein, combine it with a food-grade yeast, and ferment it to produce meat proteins that are identical to meat. Now, I don't even know what that means. Now, I know there are going to be some people who say, oh my God, but they got to take the blood from the chicken, which, you know, yeah, I mean, that sucks, you know. But I think the idea is that once they do this a number of times, they don't even need a real animal anymore. They can just use the genetic coding to whatever. And, you know, you have to think, like, if this chicken, if it's like a momentary, I'm not defending animal testing. I am not defending exploiting animals, but you do have to think, if this is a momentary, like, you know, prick of a needle that a chicken gets that's, you know, treated well. Hopefully this chicken is not living on a fucking, you know, chicken slaughter farm. But and it has the potential to save, you know, countless chickens. I mean, that's big, yeah. You know. So anyway, they're doing, and this is, I think this is really, I mean, as somebody who's lived with cats their whole life, this is something that really excites me, because cats are obligate carnivores. You know, you really can't, you know, I've heard of dogs that are vegan who do very well on a plant-based diet. I don't think you can do that with cats. I really don't. I know people who've tried it, and quite frankly, the cats have gotten very sick. I know that they make vegan cat food, but yeah, I don't know. I think, like, when it comes to cats, like I said, they're carnivores. In the wild, they would be eating, you know, smaller animals, like mice and rats and birds. And, you know, so I think that when we kind of force our ethics onto cats, I don't think it's right. You know, I feel like if you have a cat, sadly, you have to feed the cat meat. But I feel like this would give people who live with cats the option to feed their cats a product that doesn't harm animals, which is like, would be amazing. So I hope that this company, they said that they're going to be able to create this stuff and bring it to market within a year or so.
Wow. That is amazing.
We'll see. But I am super excited for this, and I hope that they're actually able to do it, because this would really be a game changer. I mean, and if they can do this with chicken, why can't they do it with any other animal protein for, you know, dogs and cats, you know? So I mean, this is exciting. So we'll see. Again, the company is called Bond Pet Foods, so I'll be keeping an eye out on that. All right, Miko, that was my last story. So we've come to the end of another show.
Yes, we have.
I want to thank everyone so much for listening. We hope you guys are all safe and well. If you want to catch up with me or with Miko during the week, or with Miko during, I don't know why I said it like that.
You did a Hamilton.
Oh my God. I love Hamilton so much. The musical Hamilton. I love it. I think it's groundbreaking. I'm not going to talk about it, but there's that song. If you've listened to Hamilton, the Schuyler sisters, where they're like Angelica, Eliza, and Peggy. And I want to know what is going on with Peggy. Why did Lin-Manuel Miranda do that to Peggy? Why is she like that? And Peggy, you know, it's like, you know, anyway. All right. I'm getting off topic. It's the end of the show. If you want to catch up with me or Miko during the week, please do so on Twitter. I'm at Vegan Ari. Miko is at Miko Alon, or use our hashtag Vegan Ari Show. And remember, if you like our podcast, please consider leaving us a review and subscribing on Apple or Spotify or wherever you consume your podcasts. And if you're a lover of the show, please help us out in spreading the word. We're trying to get more listeners and subscribers always. So whatever you can do, a Facebook post, a tweet, a retweet, phone a friend, whatever you got, we're here for it. We appreciate all the help with that. And if we don't hear from you this week, we will chat with you next weekend. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.